Okay. So hi, I'm Stefan. Finished my PhD this winter, looking at faster sampling methods, or using kind of adaptive sampling methods to speed up simulations, particularly annual glare simulations. But I thought I wanted to highlight the chapter from the thesis that no one's going to read, but we'll read the least, that's about using these methods and seeing how well the same methods apply towards making higher quality images. So just for a little background, I'll just give a little example. I'm not really going to go into how RageVerse works in this presentation, but just a little background for if we take a little toy example in one dimension. So just kind of looking along this one little slice of an image where we've got the reflections coming off the desk, and then the view up to the direct sun, and there's this sort of set of conditions. And as we've already seen in some of Greg's presentation, in the last presentation, when you just throw samples at it uniformly, you need to generate a lot of samples to get an accurate result. And so the idea is instead to use the sampling that you have so far to help find the places where you actually need more samples to improve the estimate. So you can much more quickly converge at a reasonable solution that's kind of accurate enough for whatever question you're asking, right? And so the goal in all of this is to increase the value of those samples and concentrating where you're putting the sampling within the sort of six dimensions that we're looking at when we're looking at annual simulations, and putting those where there's the most variance and most difference, and where those additional samples are going to most improve the result. And I wish I had Greg's RH copy, because I want to populate a lot of these things into the scene. And so that could probably make some much nicer graphics with that. And so, yeah, this was kind of the main result from that work, and it's about speeding up kind of annual glare calculations. And so here there's just two different charts. One is sort of set for these four different methods, all kind of at timing around where Climate Studio was. I expect now it's much faster, and we'll hear from John later about that. So that's around like a second a point for annual glare calculations. And then on the right is timing near the sort of RageVerse default settings that seem to do the best in all situations. That's more around like 8 seconds per point. And so you can see just the average column here. The thesis that RageVerse is able to kind of get a more accurate result in the same amount of time. So the question is, can we use that same approach to make a nice high quality image? So if I just spit the rays that say you would need to make a kind of high quality, or to make accurate annual glare results and make an image out of that, it's gonna look something like the image on the left, which is like, okay, there's a window there maybe, but yeah, I mean, you're not going to show that to a client or anything. We'd much rather get something like the image on the right. You know, we've got the reflection coming off the glass. We've got the sun coming through. We can see the sky. We can see the trees. And so the thing that we want to do is kind of interpolate all those samples into something that looks nice. So if we just interpolate it, like, that's pretty great, right? Like, now I can sort of see even less, actually. So maybe that's the wrong slide. We'll come back to that one. So what we can do as a first thing to maybe improve that is kind of add some additional information about the scene that's pretty cheap to get, right? This is all just stuff in the model. And so the sun position and reflection normals is really important for getting the accurate glare results. So I've already got that in there. But we can also look for changes in material or changes in surface normal or big changes in distance. Other things that might indicate edges where our interpolation's not going to hold. And so now, ta-da, okay, well, it's still not so good. But we can now actually see, okay, we've got a computer screen, we've got this desk chair, got all sorts of artifacts. Now it's starting to remind us a little bit maybe of kind of a low quality ambient cache run. We've got some artifacts on the mullions where some bright stuff's slipping through. And so basically all this is doing is taking the image on the left and applying that interpolation and then falling back and only using the samples that are in the same material and normal and distance range. And then it sort of falls back to the nearest sample when it needs to. So it's, you know, it's a start. We're on the right path. And then we'll just kind of move over now from a sky patch calculation on the left to now let's get the color and get a particular sky and sun definition. So now suddenly we have the patch of sun on the wall, which is a big improvement because that was pretty important. And so now we're still at pretty low sampling rates. This is still only going to take, you know, seconds to generate. But, you know, we're still missing lots of detail and stuff. So obviously the first thing we do would be increase the sampling rates, right? Increase the quality, say, let's spend some more time on the rendering because it's worth it to make these beautiful images that we do. So now it's looking a lot better just as it is. You know, it's still, if we squint and look at the big image, we're like, all right, that's not so bad. It's a little wonky, but we don't have interpolation here. And so we can add the geometry-aware interpolation and masking, and we got the image on the left, which looks pretty nice, except you can see that now we introduce all of these aliasing artifacts, where we got the jagged edge, and so that's going to be limited by whatever resolution our output is at, because it's looking at each pixel and saying, what surface am I hitting? And so you're always going to get a hard edge there. Instead, we could actually make that information available while we're sampling and decide not only on luminance thresholds whether to take more samples, but also decide based on whether we're hitting the same material or hitting the same surface normal. It's kind of a multiple layers of information that we're adding to the sampling process. And so now when we have that image, we can apply the interpolation. So here's the interpolation strategy I came up with. So normally if you were doing kind of it's called a kernel density estimate, where we're gathering a bunch of nearby samples and then using them to kind of in some way weight them and average them together into what value to actually use for the pixel right there. You would start out by weighting the samples by distance. So we'd apply some kind of kernel curve here and say the samples out here, we're gonna push away and make those not pretty important, and then the samples that are close, we're going to say, okay, those are going to be really important, and we've got that there. But because of the adaptive sampling scheme that we've used, you can see there's a bunch of samples concentrated up here, and there are very few samples down there, and so that's going to bias our estimate, and we'd end up pulling all that light stuff down over the dark stuff. So we've got two strategies to address that. The first is the one down here, and that's to weight the samples by the local density. So this is very similar to how the metric computation works, where we sort of calculate the effective area of each sample and use that. Here we can calculate the effective angle on approach to that interpolation point to weight the sample. So for instance, this sample, it's going to be the nearest point on this circle everywhere from there to there, and so it gets a bunch of weighting, whereas all the samples above my pixel location are get a very small weighting. And then there's another sort of filter here where we can also weight the samples by the lumens. And so this is to kind of combat the smoothing that that the distance sampling and this large kernels are going to do, and we're going to say, okay, well, if a sample does happen to slip over the edge into this brighter area, the closest points are probably a pretty good estimate for the average here. It's probably a pretty good estimate of where my final luminance is. And so anything that's an outlier, anything that's out here, we're going to deweight just to kind of avoid over kind of blurring and muddying the image. And so then we get this combined weighting here at the end that that seems to address a lot of these different issues that come up with material changes, geometry changes, direct sun patches or reflections, etc. Okay, so to see how well this works, I could compare it to some reference images. And so these are all rendered without ambient caching and really high resolution. Each one of these took about 22 to 24 hours on this laptop, which is currently the fastest on the Radiance benchmark. So just to see where we're at. The new Apple, are really, really fast, especially when you compile them for your machine. So we've got these four views. And then we'll also look at changes in direction, which for ray traverse are just basically free, but it just takes a few seconds to reinterpolate the image. And then also changes in position, where ray traverse has to start over. And so here you can see for the two views on the bottom, I've just plotted the difference to the reference. And so that's plus or minus 50 candelas per meter squared across the whole image. And everything is kind of, speckled with some error, but it's all kind of low and distributed. And then we get some higher errors at some of the edges because of the resolution. But it looks pretty good. It doesn't look like we've introduced any extreme bias. And then I also want to compare that to the ambient cache images. And now here, changes in direction and changes in position are both able to reuse the information from the previous rendering. And so each new image gets a little bit easier. And so here again, the overall, it's very close to the reference. There's overall a bias. I tried playing around with the ambient weight parameters and some of the other things to try and improve the estimate. But it turned out that not using any of that gave the best result. And so I think this is just because got a few less bounces on this. It just takes a bit longer when you get deep. It's hard to get enough sample. As the sample counts deteriorate, as you get into farther and farther bounces, you just sort of, at a certain point, yeah, I don't know. I mean, Greg will have thoughts about this, I'm sure. And so we can look more specifically at some of these key areas that are challenging for ray traverse in particular, but also the ambient caching. And so what I'm looking for here is whether there's any real bias in these regions. And so you can see in the histograms, right, we're looking for something like this, right? That's a really good estimate. Everything is very close to the reference, and there's no bias there. Here, we've got a lot of larger errors, but again, they're pretty even, so it's maybe okay. Whereas something like this, we're starting to be a little negative bias. We're underestimating the light somehow relative to the reference. But you can see both methods work extremely well, which is or what I would imagine is extremely well, because also keep in mind I'm doing these comparisons in kind of high dynamic range space, but once you tone map the image and reduce it down, most of these might not be perceptible differences, which actually I'm working on with Uni. She's going to present that tomorrow. And so I would like to apply some of those tests to these images to really see. And so the reason that we're doing all this is we don't really want to wait 22 hours on an expensive laptop to make one image. We want to make lots of images because our clients want to see things from a lot of different views, or we want to put a bunch of different images in our papers. And so here, just moving left to right, we simulate the first image and then look at two other view directions and then move to another view position nearby and then simulate two other view directions to kind of get a sense of how the ambient caching improves the speed over time and then also how the ray traverse does across that. And so if we look at all 12 of these images, for ray traverse, we can take that 22 hours down to about 11 minutes. With ambient caching, it was down to about 7.5 minutes. When I did this on a server where I had a lot more cores, it's actually flipped at a certain point, the read speeds, I think, slowed down for the ambient caching, and so it wasn't able to kind of use. So if you have a ton of cores, then it was actually better for ray traverse. But I thought the really interesting result here was that you can actually combine these two strategies. They're both sort of adaptive sampling strategies on their own. Like, they're both kind of giving you the information you need to simulate from where you're looking. And so they actually work together pretty well. And you keep getting those gains as you go. And so you can start, you know, if you're making these 12 images, I can now make those 12 images in half an hour, which is pretty great. And throughout all of that, the other thing that is nice is the combined error is actually not really any bigger than the worst error from either one. So there's no compounding error bias introduced by using the two strategies together. So if I got through that quick enough, which is good. So thank you.